Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room post-game edition. Ryan Green, Case Kiefer, here to talk about UNLV New Mexico, the first UNLV victory in the Bobby Houck era. And Case, you said it last week, New Mexico was historically bad, and we saw it firsthand tonight because I had only seen the box scores. I'm a believer now.
Yeah, I think they definitely lived up to the building to their billing. Excuse me, but beyond that, no matter who it was great to see UNLV get their first win, just to get that off their back. And really, we were joking about it, but it's been a while since we covered a winning team in football, at least. And you know, afterwards, Houck smiling after a game. I've never seen that before. You know, guys laughing about Clayton's haircut. You know, just generally jovial, chowing down on their chicken fingers. You know, just a whole different attitude after the game.
And this team needed it. You know, both of these teams coming into tonight, three games against three tough opponents, three blowout victories or defeats on each side. And you know, you figured UNLV. Obviously, the bookmakers found them as a favorite coming in. Clearly, it was for good reason because, you know, I think we saw tonight that it wasn't just New Mexico's competition that was leading them to defeat. They're just they're not a very good football team.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to touch on a betting angle at this, it's New Mexico's lines have not been big enough all year. I mean, I don't think they've come within 20 points of covering, and that was the case again tonight. UNLV was a 10-point favorite and ended up covering that easily. Of course, they scored first. They had the lead for the first time this year for a while, but beyond that, it was just all UNLV. Pretty much everything UNLV did turned to gold. New Mexico, not so much.
And look, we don't pretend to be professional handicappers here, but for the time being, as long as Mike Locksley is on that sideline and there's rumors about his job security and injuries and struggles, bet against New Mexico every week, no matter the number.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good advice. I don't know why I'm not doing that yet. You know, we'd be 4 weeks richer right now, but I guess don't miss out on future opportunities.
Yeah, seriously, and there's going to be plenty of them. They got 8 games left, so jump on that train. But let's talk about UNLV tonight. Great performance all around. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. You know, it was a little bit of a slow start, as per usual, but after New Mexico scored that first touchdown, which you mentioned, a very urgent drive, 7 plays, 58 yards, and you know, just a great drive that ended in a touchdown off of a Channing Trotter 2-yard run. Omar Clayton with a couple great passes to Philip Payne on that drive. Clayton finished the night 14 of 20, 194 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, still hasn't thrown one this year. And, you know, great for him. A guy who, in his first 2 years at UNLV, completed almost 60% of his passes, completing about 44% this year coming in. And, you know, tonight comes in and completes 60%, 60-70%, that's great for him.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind that this was New Mexico, but seeing how good Clayton looks when he has time and how good he runs the offense, it still just makes me wonder how he didn't win the quarterback job coming out of camp.
Yeah.
I know you were around more, but it just seems like he has such command of the offense, and really one guy we got to mention that stuck out to me, and I'm sure everyone, is Michael Johnson, 138 yards, 3 touchdowns. He was opportunistic. His first touchdown, he caught off a tip ball. Another one, he had about almost 50 yards after the catch.
Yeah.
Just looked great. Exactly what he wants to do. So I think he'd probably have to be the offensive MVP tonight.
Yeah, and you know, Michael Johnson is a dangerous weapon, and as he has been in the last couple of years, when you get him in space, they finally were able to. They just haven't been able to get him in space this year. And you know, you mentioned that 36-yard touchdown he scored, where he really probably ran about 75 yards when you factor in going across the field. But you know, this is huge, and you mentioned the quarterback battle. I think, you know, now looking at it in hindsight, about 4 weeks after the fact, I think the coaching staff loved the fact that Mike Clawson was a much better runner. He was a stronger runner, and I don't think they anticipated the offensive line struggling the way it has and figured he'd be able to utilize that. He just wasn't able to. They realized that it was going to have to be more of a traditional deal where the quarterback was just throwing the ball for the most part. And Omar Clayton probably better suited for that, and finally getting himself on track tonight.
But Mike Clawson found a way to contribute too. Of course, he's 2 weeks into his change at safety. Early in the game, it was still tied at 7-7, and had a big interception to set up the touchdown. So I guess it's great to see both of those guys contributing.
Yeah, and very big for him considering on that one New Mexico touchdown, he got kind of burned along with Alex DiGiacomo, and it was nice for him to bounce back. And you know, the defense really didn't stop there. We noticed late in the first half, early second half, this defense has not had a lot of reasons to be, you know, confident this year, and you could see the confidence coming out, and you could see the guys starting to get a little swagger to them and hitting a little harder and swerving to the ball better, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, the biggest play of the night, I think, on either side of the ball, Sidney Hodge coming off the corner on that blindside blitz, he absolutely annihilated Terry and Austin. Austin was on the ground for about 3-4 minutes after that, you know, collecting his thoughts, and jarred the ball loose. B.J. Bell picks it up, runs it in 40 yards for a touchdown. Granted, the game was over before then, but, you know, that was a real strong stamp for this defense to get a good highlight to hang its hat on.
For sure, and Sidney Hodge and B.J. Bell both had football players' dreams in that scenario. Apparently no one decided to protect Austin's blind side, which seems pretty indicative of the kind of mistakes this New Mexico team makes. So Hodge just has the cleanest shot ever on this kid, destroys him. Even Houck said afterwards, I didn't know if he was going to get up. Because, I mean, if you haven't seen this hit, YouTube it or something, because it was just unbelievable. But then the big guy, B.J. Bell, scoops it up and runs down the field, touchdown. That's another dream for both these guys. So what a play that was to see. It's got to be the biggest highlight of UNLV's season thus far.
Yeah. And a guy who's 5'8", 180 delivering that hit. I couldn't believe it. And we saw it developing. We saw him coming down that blind side and just kind of went, uh-oh.
But you know who didn't? Tarion Austin. Did not see that coming.
Some tells me he was a little rattled after that. Their offense really didn't do much after that. Austin, you know, started the game 3 of 6 for 65 yards and a touchdown. Finished the night 17 of 40. 177 yards, two picks, a fumble, the very costly fumble, and it's just looking bad for New Mexico.
It's hard to get a read on how good Tarion Austin actually is. We both said we thought he looked pretty good early in the game, but
he's a decent player.
But he's surrounded by such awful talent. I mean, 17 for 40, maybe he's better than that if anyone can block for him. Maybe he's better than that if he has anyone that can... he can consistently throw to and trust. I mean, this New Mexico team is just a disaster right now. So even if he does have a bright future ahead of him, they got to get some people around him somewhere.
Well, another positive for UNLV tonight, 185 yards on the ground, and they needed that. Came in as one of the lowest-ranked rushing offenses, and that's something Bobby Houck wanted to do, and it's kind of a staple of his offense. Came in averaging 2.6 yards a carry, 91 yards a game. They finished tonight with 185 yards, 4.7 a carry, 2 touchdown runs. Trotter was strong, very similar to his numbers last year against these guys when he had 15 for 60. Actually, almost the exact same numbers. He had 15 for 65 last year, 15 for 63 tonight. Tim Cornett, though, with the biggest highlight on the ground, a 46-yard touchdown run. The freshman is a nice little X factor for this team.
Yeah, look, Cornett's run was 3 times longer than any other of these running backs. I know I've been on the soapbox the last time I was on this podcast, but forget about experience, forget about all that. Let's get this guy the ball if you're UNLV. I mean, obviously they have some more huge games coming up. You're going to have playmakers on the field if you want any chance of an upset. Why not give Cornett some more carries? I think you told me he's averaging like 11 yards per carry this year or something. I mean, the kid's an unbelievable talent. It's time to let him loose a little bit and see how he can do with an extended workload, in my opinion.
They're obviously wanting to incorporate some more speed into the tailback position. Bradley Randall got a little more work, 8 carries for 43 yards. We mentioned Cornett. Deontay Purvis got in there. Had 4 carries for 12 yards. The defensive back, they're trying him out at running back now.
Yeah, I had no idea. Suddenly there was kind of the stir in the press box after it had been boring for a little while because UNLV was just pounding him. But Deontay Purvis was in at running back. Who knew? And certainly he brought some of that speed you talked about.
Well, let's talk about what moving forward for both of these teams. First for UNLV, a big win to give them some confidence. Even if they said they didn't need it, they probably did. Next up, Reno. And Reno has put up Nintendo numbers on UNLV each of the last 2 years. Just embarrassing defeats at the hands of Colin Kaepernick and company. And, I mean, do we think there's any reason to believe it's going to be any different this time? Reno obviously has gotten up for this game, but I think the X factor is Bobby Houck in a rivalry week. We've never seen him in one.
Yeah, honestly, I don't. I would put UNLV's chances at winning at 0%. But I think it's conceivable they could play a close game. Like you said, Bobby Houck in a rivalry week. You know, obviously, they're going to be confident all week. You know, maybe if we can get Tim Cornett on both offense and defense, and special teams, if he just never comes off on the field, maybe they'll have
a good
chance.
Clone him a few times.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
On the other side, New Mexico. I really haven't seen a program that's kind of in as bad a shape as they are. You know, the talent level is depleted. The coaching staff appears to be a mess. The coaching situation appears to be a mess, at least. There's rumors that they might be bringing in Mike Leach. Why not right now? I mean, look, I know Loxley's hasn't even had 2 years' time here, but, I mean, geez.
Yeah.
You would figure in your second year you got to show some signs of something, and it's only been worse.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. You got to show some kind of progress, and this guy, his teams have just gotten progressively worse. I mean, I'd say at this point they're probably a slight underdog to not even win a game this year, maybe not even be within a touchdown. I know they got New Mexico State and possibly Colorado State. They beat them last year, but if you could get Mike Leach at New Mexico, obviously you fire on that right away. Whatever you can do to get him there, because that would be huge. We know how good of a coach he is. Everyone does. So probably about one of the only things that can save this program for the immediate future right now.
And if for no other reason, it keeps this program relevant. Because this is a proud program, and they're quickly fading into oblivion for a long time.
Absolutely. And of course, Leach has tons of contacts, close with a bunch of other coaches. He could assemble a great staff. I think he could recruit well there. If those rumors are indeed true, that would be a knockout hire. But other than that, New Mexico might be in trouble.
And who knows? Your boy Mark Richt might be available sometime soon.
Yeah, I don't know if Mark Richt would go to New Mexico. He's not really a Southwest guy, but
he's not going to be a Southeast guy for
much
longer.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe.
I mean, I'm a Georgia fan, and Mark Richt, I'm telling you, if he loses a couple more games, he might be asking Mike Leach to come on that staff as special teams coordinator.
See, like you said, he could assemble a hell of a staff. Well, for Case Kiefer, I'm Ryan Green. We will talk to you later this week as we get ready for UNLV Reno next Saturday at Sam Boyd Stadium. Until then, take care. Thanks for listening.